Take note of the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. If you'd stand, please, for reading of the word tonight. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Now, in fact, you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gave you his Holy Spirit. Now, about your love for one another. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family through Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Amen.
So you got to love this passage. Mind your own business. Anybody catch that? Hey, you want to live in peace? That's a really good idea right there, okay? Leave it to Paul. You know, he just gets right down to the point, you know? You know, he starts out here by talking about we need to live a life to please God. And that's what this is all about, right? It's not about pleasing yourself. It's not about doing what everybody else wants you to do. It's about pleasing God and pleasing Him alone. And he says, now I urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. You know, it's funny. It's like, well, yeah, right? It's interesting. If someone asks you, do you live a life that pleases God? You know, I know He's pleased with the things that I do. I know He's pleased with me. We act like pleasing God is a moment in time. Like, yeah, I did that. You checked it off a list. I pleased God today. But there's something about this that Paul's trying to get at that's more of a lifestyle. He's like, I urge you to continue doing this day after day. I want you to do it more and more. And it's not enough. And it's not like it's not enough for salvation. If you don't please God more, then He's going to send you to hell. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying that you need to please God more and more, because as you get to know Him, you're going to want to please Him, and this thing is going to snowball, and you're going to continue to get better. He goes on to say here that it is God's will for us to be sanctified. And a lot of people read that and they're like, I don't know what that means. But what it means is that it's God's will for us to be purified in the way we do things, for our hearts to be pure. But we understand that when we accept Jesus, that He doesn't just do it all at one time. I mean, it'd be nice if He did. Steve, you're sanctified and you're good. You're pure 100%. That's not how it works. It's an ongoing process in life that we walk through as we get to know the Lord and we trust in Him and we see His work in our lives. He continues to sanctify us from the beginning of our life all the way to the very end of it until we go to be with Him. And so it's important that we understand that if you really want to be sanctified, you got to do what God wants you to do, and I urge you to do it more and more. I think it's a good thing, right? He goes on to say that you need to avoid sexual immorality. You need to learn to control your own body. This is an example of what he says here. He says that that it's holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish those who commit these sins, as I told you and warned you before. And so he uses this as an example. He says, for God did not call us to be impure, but He called us to a holy life. And I think we need to understand that. I mean, sometimes the things that we're used to, the things that bring impurity into our lives, or things we're used to, things that we found comfort in, things that we like even. But the thing is, your future is not impurity. Your future is sanctification. Your future is complete purity in you, that God is working in you more and more every day, right? But it comes down to doing what He wants for your life, not what you want for your life. And so it's always looking out for what God wants. And I don't know that we always do that. I don't know that we wake up every morning saying, I wonder what God wants for today. Generally, we think, I'm really good. I need a cup of coffee. You know what I mean? I'm going to start right there. Right, Sarah? You got to have the coffee, right? So it's like, I'm going to start with a coffee, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I wonder if we ask ourselves, I wonder what God wants today, you know? Like, I wonder what his plan is for today. I know where I'm supposed to be and where I'm supposed to go and all that kind of stuff because, you know, I'm responsible. I'm going to do this stuff. But the real question is, as I go and do these things and as I go through life, you know, am I willing to do God's will as I go through it? Am I willing to stop and do what he wants me to do in the moment, even if it's not my plan? You know, there's a lot of stuff to consider in this, right? And so Paul continues to talk about this. He gets down to the part I really want to talk with you about, and that's the mind your own business part. But I just, yeah. It's not my axe to grind. Hey, he said it, okay? So, he says, now about love for one another, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And it's so true. Isn't that true for the whole world, whole word here? It's like, you know, I could preach to you tonight about how you're supposed to love the Lord, how you're supposed to do his will, but, you know, God already told you, right? But we know that we need to be reminded. Isn't that what preachers do? We remind people of the word. I mean, because a lot of you have already read it. You know it well, but sometimes we just lose sight of things. You know, I don't know about you, but I get a little discombobulated every once in a while. I get a little derailed. I forget what's really important. Sometimes my stuff becomes so important that I forget, hey, God's not even into that, you know? And so we have to consider where God is in it all. And he says that, I want you to, as far as your love for one another, I mean, you do this well. He says, in fact, you do love all God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet I urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. Right? Here he goes again. Not only do I want you to do God's will, I urge you to do it more and more, but I know you love everyone well. As a matter of fact, you love everyone in Macedonia. All you guys, you love everybody in Allegheny County. I get that, but I urge you to do it more and more, you know? And you're like, well, I don't know how I love people more and more, and I can tell you, looking for new ways and creative ways of loving people, that's how you do it. Some people say, well, you know, I love them. I did this for them. I did that for them, and I can tell you there are a million ways to love people, right? And I wonder sometimes if we're willing to be creative enough to consider what those things are, you know? It might be buying somebody lunch. It might be mowing their grass. It might be cutting their trees. It might just be going over there having coffee with them. It might be giving them money because they're going through something difficult. It might be praying for them. It might just be letting them know that you're here for them and that you haven't forgotten about them. It can be a lot of different things, right? I don't know what those things are, but it could be different things. And we can love people so many different ways. And so he says, I urge you to do that more and more. But he goes a little bit further, and he says this, and it almost seems disconnected, but it's not. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do this more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Man, I can tell you, you will not do any of the things that I just talked about if you don't have a quiet life, if you don't have some peace inside you. Because you're going to be so busy trying to maintain this crazy life you have, that you're not going to have time to think about loving people or dealing with stuff or doing God's will or anything because you're going to be so wrapped up in your life. Has anyone ever been there before? Has it just been me? I mean, we've got to get to a place where we're peaceful, right? We've got to get to a place where we're exactly what he's talking about. We have this quiet life. But there are a lot of enemies to the quiet life. If you'll notice in this passage, if you look at the punctuation, I don't know if anybody's into punctuation, but I am. Okay, you get to this place here where it says that, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, colon, right? We're getting ready for a list, right? Okay, so here's the thing. It would be enough just to say, I mean, it'd be interesting just to say, well, you need to live a quiet life and just be peaceful and chill. But he says, here's how you do it, colon, okay? You should mind your own business. I'll tell you, nothing brings a quiet life like minding your own business. But there's just something about this life that's noisy, you know? You know, one of the things I think that probably kills a quiet life and maybe some peace and causes some of these issues is, and I'm not going after Mark Zuckerberg, but I'm just saying Facebook, right, for just a second, okay? Because I don't know what happens to you, but if you read, this is mine, okay? Look at that. This lady's at the beach. Why don't I get to go to the beach? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I've been working hard all year. I've been doing all kinds of stuff, you know what I mean? Why is it that she gets to go? You know, wow, that's a really cool place. I've been there before. It's no big deal. I know that. Wait a minute. This person likes Devil's Backbone Brewery, and I know they go to church. I don't know what's going on. I mean, this is real stuff. I don't make this stuff up, right? Well, there's a person who just took a picture of themselves, and they're really destitute right now, and they wanted to make sure you saw it in the facial expression. You guys know what I'm talking about? And there's always those people who make this really cool dinner, and then they take a picture of it, and then you get, you know, I didn't get that for dinner. I got McDonald's. It wasn't even that good, you know? Man, they had roast beef. And then there's a memory of someone having a baby, and I'll say, oh, what a wonderful time of life that was. That was really cool. This person just paid their car off. That's what I'm talking about, you know? Yeah. I wish I paid my car off. You know, if I hadn't signed that dumb deal, if my wife hadn't bought that car, I mean, I'll say, you know what? I'm still mad about that, you know? I'll tell you what, some of the stuff that happens when you just start checking out people's lives and doing this kind of stuff, and I'm not down on Facebook, it's cool, but there's something about this that doesn't breed a quiet life, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm a little bit, like, perturbed. I'm not at the beach right now. I mean, I'll be honest, and
we all are.
Yeah. Okay, is anybody mad with me? You guys want to be mad together? Can we do that? And I love this. Jacob Booz got a hold of Marianne Clifton's phone, and he says, I just want to make sure everyone knows that Jacob Booz is my favorite. You know? I wish I was somebody's favorite. I'll tell you, I don't know. Why is it that I'm just, man, I'll tell you what. I had peace when I started this message, and I don't know what happened. But I just checked out a few things, and all of a sudden, it just strikes stripped away. Isn't it interesting that life has a way of doing that? You know what I mean? And it says for us to live quiet lives and mind your own business. And once in a while, you see people post stuff about their kids and just craziness, and you're like, I would never let my kid wear that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I've heard that stuff. I would never let my kid do that, you know, and I thought that was illegal. You know, like some of the things you see, and it's like, there's something about that that just, maybe I just need to mind my own business, you know what I mean? And he goes on to say this, and I think it's interesting. He puts this together. He says, okay, lead a quiet life, colon. You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as I told you. You know, put your hands to something and do something, and not your smartphone, but put your hands on something and work on something, right? Like, do something. You know, there is nothing more peaceful than actually, like, working on something, pouring yourself into something, minding your own business, and living your life. You know, but sometimes that stuff just seems like a thing of the past, and there are a lot of people within the church today who just don't have peace, you know. They don't have peace because there's a lot of stuff that's infringing on their life, you know. There's a lot of stuff that is really probably none of their business, you know, that we worry about, things that we think we don't like in life and we want to verbalize, but we don't have any ability to change those things. There's a thing called sphere of influence in life, and many of you may know about it, but your life represents this sphere, and everything inside of it is your business, and you have control, and we'll use that loosely, okay? You have control over the things that are within your sphere of influence, and everything outside is really none of your business, you know what I mean? But it's interesting how much of life we spend outside the sphere of influence worrying about things and trying to affect things that we have no business doing. Because it steals your peace. You know what I mean? There are a lot of things in life, people making decisions, things that they do, stuff that happens, Facebook, whatever. And a lot of that stuff, politics, can I say that? Yeah. That when you watch and you look around at what's happening, it begins to steal your peace. It begins to destabilize your life. Because there are things you can't control, but you want to control it with everything in you. And there are some things you just can't fix.
Amen.
And there's something about that that steals every last bit of peace you have. And so, as Paul's saying these things, he's like, look, I want you to do God's will for your life. I urge you to do it more and more, and I want you to love people just like you've been doing. You love people well, but I urge you to love people even more and more and find new creative ways to do it. But here's the reality of it is you're not going to do any of these things unless you live a quiet life, unless you can keep your mind on your own business and keep your hands to yourself, so to speak, and work on something, you know? Unless you can learn to live your life. And I can tell you, in the information world we live in and all the stuff we have going on, we live a lot of lives, and sometimes we don't even live ours, you know? We're concerned about what this person's doing down the road and how they're doing this, and they shouldn't be doing that. The school needs to handle things differently. The mayor needs to do something different, right, Tom? And every, you know, it's like so many things need to happen, and none of it's any of our business, and we don't have any peace left, and we're all out here trying to handle all this stuff. When in fact, what we need to be doing is, for our mayor in particular, we need to be praying for you, that God gives you the wisdom to handle these things, and we need to go behind you cheering you on and say, Tom, go, right? That needs to be where we're at, because there's peace in that.
There's peace in that. For everything that falls outside the sphere of influence in your life and you have no control over those things, you need to be praying and you need to ask for God's intervention in those things. For those people who are out there doing those things, for people who are doing things wrong and for people who are up against the wall and are facing challenges, we need to be praying for those people. We don't need to be controlling about what we think he ought to be doing or what someone else ought to be doing or anything else, because it ends up we're not experts, you know? Amen. Yeah, we might think we know everything, but we don't. Amen. We may act like we know everything, but we don't. We may have the solution to everything in life, but we don't. And you know, it's that's it. But here's the deal. We've got to get to a place in life where we understand what we can control and what we can't and what's our business and what's not our business and stay living in our business. Amen. You know what I mean? Amen. And I can tell you that when you put your hand to the plow, so to speak, that's a very scriptural reference for you. When you put your hand to the plow and you begin to plow the field that God gave you, you'll begin to find peace because you're going to have time to have a conversation with God. You're going to have time to look at what you're plowing up. You're going to have time to take in your life again. You're going to have time to set everything else outside of the field that God's given you into somebody else. That's somebody else's business. And I get to put my hand to the plow and do the very thing that God created me to do. And not to worry about the stuff that just doesn't matter. And I can tell you, that's what living a quiet life really looks like. But if I were to ask you today, do you live a quiet life? What would you say? I mean, just being brutally honest. On a scale of 1 to 10, right? 10 being really not quiet at all. Very noisy, loud, painful life. And 1 being like very quiet. And I guess we'll do that just in magnitude, right? Where would you be in it? I mean, there have been times in my life where... Thanks, Joe. There have been times in my life where it's been off the charts. It's been... I've had my hand in everything. And there have been times in my life where I gave up and I didn't care about anything. And I found myself at the number one point. And... we don't get to number one by looking at life futilely. You know, it's not like, you know, I just give up. That's not it. We get to a place of quietness because we just spend time with the Lord and actually do what he placed in front of us to do. And, you know, it's interesting what all we have to do. Steve Richards, let's take you for example. You're a facilities director at Dabney S. Lancaster, right? You know, that's your job. You know, there might be things about the school that you don't like. There might be things about the administration. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, you roll with stuff. You're like water off a duck's back with stuff. I get that. But there might be things that you don't like, maybe even things that you feel in your heart about things. But in the end, your only job is to make sure the facility operates, right? Your only job is to take care of the staff that you have, not all the staff of the whole school. But it would be interesting if you thought that was your job. Do you know how much pain you'd have? You know how much upset you would have day by day? You know how much people wouldn't like you? It's interesting that as we get outside of our sphere of influence, it not only affects us, but it affects people around us too. You know, we got to get to a place where we live that peaceful life that God's called us to live because people notice that stuff, right? You know, it goes on to say this in the passage as it gets near the end. It says this, we do all these things so that our daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. I want you to get this, to win the respect of outsiders. There is nothing better for the world to see than a Christian who doesn't stick his nose in everybody's business and who's peaceful where God placed him. Amen. Because a Christian who's content, there is some coolness to that, right? I mean, like, when you see somebody who's just content where they're at, and they're just like, you know, they don't have, like, the greatest gig going on in life, but they're just okay with it all. They're happy with it all, and they're content with it. Isn't that, I mean, people want that stuff, right? They mean, I wish I was just happy like that. I wish I just loved my job. I wish I could just do my thing. I wish I had that kind of contentment in me, but... It's interesting because we don't really raise contentment on a pedestal and say, yeah, that's my goal in life. But that's what Paul's talking about. It's like if you're in this place where you are living according to God's will and you're loving people the way God wants you to, you're living this peaceful life because you're keeping your mind out of other people's business or your hands or whatever, and you're keeping your hands on the plow in life, and you're going through life, there's something about that that's very attractive to people who don't have peace because they find peace by looking at your life. And they're like, man, that guy is just content with where he's at, you know? I mean, isn't that what you guys want? Do you want to find this contentment that goes beyond anything that makes sense? That no matter what you've been given in life, that, I mean, I'm just really content with where I'm at. You know, I'm just really happy to be here. You know, I'm just really glad that I can represent God here. And I'm really okay with everybody else being crazy, you know, respectively, right? I mean, crazier than I am, right? I mean... I'm really okay with that. And if people make bad decisions, I'll pray for them. And if we're facing things politically, I'll pray for Trump, you know? And even for the people who don't like him. that we say, I don't agree with everything he does, but I'm praying for him because he represents our nation, right? And for our mayor, the mayor of Covington, it's like, you know, we lift up Tom because there are some things that our city faces that are difficult. They're tough decisions. They're tough things that he has to do, and that we don't sit back and tell Tom, you know what, Tom, what I think you ought to do? You ought to do it the way I know what we're supposed to do here. No, we need to be quiet and understand that that's not our business, but we need to lift him up and say, God, give him wisdom and believe that God is going to deliver. It says if we lack wisdom, we ask and God delivers, right? Amen. That's true for him. That we lift up our people, you know? For people in this church who are developing as pastors, people who are developing into positions of leadership, we may not always like what we see in their life because they're working through stuff, and don't you know that? We all have issues in this place, right? We're all in process. We're all being sanctified. Therefore, nobody's pure here, right? So if nobody's pure, my expectation is that you're going to do crazy stuff and it's okay, all right? I mean, it's part of life. It's part of getting better, right? So I'm okay with all that, right? I wonder if we could have that kind of environment where we're okay with people being in process and we're okay with not everybody being perfect and we're all heading in the same direction together, right? You know, because there's something about people who are in process who don't necessarily do everything right and who aren't always perfect, but they keep their face turned toward the Lord. His business is their business, right? And they're putting their hands to the plow in their life, and they're doing the very best they can, and they're not perfect, and they'll be the first to admit it, but they're heading in that direction. There's something about that, that even though they're imperfect, people say, you know what? I want that. I want that. I want to be okay with me. I want to be okay with my imperfection. I want to be okay with my process of development. I want to be okay with where I'm at right now because I realize tomorrow I'm not going to be in the same place. You know? What a cool place to be, right? Is that the kind of peace you guys want? Man, as I read these passages, I mean, to be honest, I've read these all my life, you know? And I look at that and I'm like, yeah, mind your own business, that's good. You know, keep a quiet life, you know? Put your hands to your work. And I'm like, that's all good stuff. But the question is, am I doing it, you know? Am I making everybody else's business mine? Is my hand on my own work or on somebody else's? Do I have one hand on what God told me to do and I'm trying to do it for other people too? I mean, is my heart and my mind into prayer for those people who are in the same process I'm in? Or am I just judging what they do because they're not really plowing things right, you know? They're plowing all wrong, you know what I mean? It's not even straight, you know? It's interesting how we can get sometimes if we're not careful. You know, it's okay. It's okay that we're not perfect, but through it all, I want my peace. I want my quiet life. And it's not for my sake, but for God's sake, you know? Because I want people to see my life, to be able to see a peace inside me that's a peace that passes understanding for them, right? And it's a peace that only God gives. Isn't that where you're at? Is that what you guys want? So can I pray over you today? I want to pray that God works this out in you because I don't know where you are in life. I don't know where you fall on the scale of 1 to 10 of peace. And I don't know if you're minding your own business or not minding your own business. And I don't know if your hands are on your plow or on somebody else's. But I know this, is that if we will live according to the scripture and actually internalize this and sort it out for ourselves and say, God, where am I? God will show us, and we have the ability at that point to walk it out and say, God, I choose to do it your way. You know, I choose to live according to your will. I choose to do it by your scripture, and I'm not going to do it my way anymore. Or we can say, it's okay, I'm loving, I'm good, I'm peaceful, I got what I need. But I can tell you there's always more. And so here's what I say to you. I urge you to do it more and more. I urge you to become more loving. I urge you to become more peaceful. I urge you to take hold of your life and not someone else's. And I urge you to put your eyes on your own life and on what God wants versus what everybody else is doing. That's what Paul would say to you today. So let me pray over you. Father, I just thank you and I praise you that we can read your scripture, Lord, and it just opens up something new for us. Lord, we want to live according to your will. We want to do things your way. But Lord, I just pray that we take our eyes off of everyone else and all the things that distract us and all the things that take us away from where you want us to be, the things that derail us, the things that bring up emotions in us that aren't good, the things that make us feel less than. Lord, I pray that we lay all those things down and we just begin to live according to your will. And we choose to live this quiet life
Lord, I pray that you help us to mind our own business, not to be up in everybody else's stuff. But Lord, for everything that we see that we think is an issue or we think needs your hand, Lord, that we pray over those things and we don't try to judge it, we don't try to fix it. Lord, that we just leave it to you. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you that you are our only source of peace. You are all that we need. Lord, I pray that you help us to find this peaceful place with you. So that when people see our lives, Lord, we win the respect of outsiders. And we're not in a place where we need anyone, Lord. We just need you. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're working out in us today. I thank you for peace that you've poured out, a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we just love you and thank you and just praise you for what you're doing in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask tonight if there's anyone who has anything short, brief, to the point that they would like to share tonight. Cindy, oh, there you are. While you were sitting in the back, there you go.
I just came up and said, told Lori, I think I have something to say, but we'll see how it goes. I don't want to interrupt. But there's just one thing I'm asking. I think all of you know I'm a sixth grade teacher at Jeter Watson, and God showed me some things today that we do need to make our business, and that's if you would please try to make it a habit to pray for our children. And our families in this community. God showed me today. There are kids going through things that we can't even fathom. And if you could just make that your business to pray for these children, every family in this city, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Is there anyone else tonight? Don't be shy. It's okay.
Thank you for that, Cindy. We don't know. We don't know a lot of times. And we get busy in life and we run and we push and we go and we go and we go and we go. And we get so busy we don't take time to do the very thing we heard tonight. Because there's too much to do. Reinhold Niebuhr, born 1892. Most people would not have a clue who he is. But about 25, 26 years old, he wrote a prayer. And probably everybody in here knows the prayer. It starts off with, God grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We ask, first of all, to grant us the serenity, the peace, to accept the things I can't change. I can't change Pastor Steve. I got to accept that. The courage to change the things I can, that's hard. We've got to know what those things we can change are. Does it affect your safety, your security, your family safety, your security? I'm going to change that. I'm going to change it with peace because God's going to give me serenity to do it. He's going to give me the wisdom to know the difference between what I can change and what I can't change. But what I want to read the rest of that prayer because most of us know the first four lines. Grant me serenity. things I cannot change. Courage to change things I can. Wisdom, no difference. A lot of people have heard that. It goes on. Living one day at a time. Enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. Taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't have a clue. I know there are hard things going on in a lot of people's lives. I know that we can get through those things. Do you ever think about how much can I take? I've been there lately. You know, I always thought, well, I can handle whatever comes. God will help me. But the last month, God, how much more can I take? How much more can I handle? How can I do this? I can do it by surrendering to Him, accepting His will in my life, walking at peace with wherever I'm at and whatever I'm doing. Man, it's hard. It's hard. But I want the serenity. I want the wisdom. I want to be able to negotiate life with God. And all of us have the opportunity and the ability to do that, but it's hard. You know, I don't keep repeating myself. It's hard. It is. It's tough sometimes. There's a lot of chaos in this world, and there's a lot of chaos in our community right now. We've had two threats in the last 2 days in the schools. One at Clifton Middle yesterday, one at Judah Watson today. Both of them were, I forget what the terminology is, but they were both found to be non-threatening or whatever they used. It was just something going on. But we need to pray for our community. We need to lift our community up. We need to lift our country up. I've got to get the prayer team to come up. We're going to pray tonight. I'm going to pray for several things. But I want you to know that however hard it is in your life today, that God's there to help you. And however hard it is, there's people up here to pray with you and to pray for you, to help you to see how God can help you through whatever's going on. You want to say something?
My heart's beating out my chest, but what they're sharing about, you know, you get to the point where you just can't take it no more. Well, a couple months ago, I got to that point. It's not the first time, but in this certain situation, I'm so thankful that I am a child of God and I turned to Him, because I got to the point where I wanted to hurt somebody. I wanted to go after them. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't really do anything. It was not in my hands. So I was like, okay, God, I can't take it no more. You got to take control. I give it to You. I surrender. It was just, I mean, maybe a day or two. And He took control, and He fixed the situation. And I'm not downing anybody. But I'm asking this, you know, we need to pray for this person. But it's a blessing also, because my son has his son, my grandson, that I bring here. And he was in a bad situation. And, you know, without proof, the cops can't help and the judge can't help. And God gave us what we needed to get him out of that horrible situation and into a safe environment. So just remember, give it to God. He will take control. He will give you what you need. And like what Cindy was sharing, there's a lot of kids, not just in our community, others as well, but that come into the schools where their parents been arrested and they're crying, they're upset, or so many parents neglect their kids. And it's just, you cannot imagine what there's, it's so much. It's too overwhelming in this small community what's going on. And just please pray. Lift these kids up, their parents, open their eyes up and let God into them and change them. But, thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you tonight, Father, and some are broken, Father. Some are hurting. Some have faced difficulties that are almost unimaginable. But, Father God, we know who you are. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you do for us, Father God, that you're our source of strength. You're our source of peace, Father God. And I pray that your peace would fall on each and every person here tonight, Father God. Lord, I pray for parents tonight. Lord, there's two families in the community that are having to deal with a young person, Father God, that made a mistake, and there's going to be consequences. And we pray for them, Father God, that you give the parents wisdom to deal with the situation, Father God, that you give the school authorities wisdom to deal with the situation, Lord, that you give the law enforcement wisdom to deal with the situation. Father, there's those that are sick and hurting in our community, Father, those that have lost loved ones. It's been a week of, I don't know how to describe it other than death, Father God. The obituaries are full this week of people we all know and we all loved, Father God, and we'll miss. And Father, I pray comfort for those that have lost loved ones this week, Lord, that you would be with them and strengthen them, Father God, and help them through this difficult time. Lord, people are diagnosed with serious illnesses, Father God, and we speak healing in the name of Jesus. We stand on your word, Father God. That's our strength. That's our source. You, Father God, and what your word tells us, that's where we can get our instruction and get our hope and get our faith, Father God, is from you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you for all that you are, Father God, that you are everything, Lord. Oh, Father God, I just pray a special touch tonight on each and every person in this building, Father God. Just pour your love out, Lord. You know, when I think about Abba Father, Daddy God, hugging each and every one of us, Father. Your arms are just wrapped around us and just engulfing us in your presence, Father, and in your love and your mercy. Your grace flows in this place, Lord. And we thank you so much that you show up and that you're there for us, Father God. And I know that there's nothing that's greater than you. And no matter what happens, as long as I hold tight to you, Father God, I can make it and I can get through anything that happens. And each and every person here is in the same boat. We can all make it with you, Father God. And I know in and of myself, I can't make it at all. I've got to turn to you, Lord. I've got to seek your face. So, Father, as we prepare to go out here tonight, Lord, I just again lift each and every person up. I pray your blessings to pour out upon them, Father God. And Lord, as we go out into tomorrow, we'll face situations and we'll face circumstances. We ask for serenity. We ask for wisdom. But most of all, we pray for your grace, your guidance, direction. Lead us, Lord. Show us what you'd have us to do. Again, we thank you, Father, for all that you've done here tonight, for all that you are. We love you, praise you, and again, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.